I was already awake when I heard the floorboard outside the bedroom shift. I didn't move. I kept my eyes closed and my hands folded like I was still praying. The house was quiet in that way that feels watched. The kind of quiet where you start confessing things in your head without meaning to. I remember thinking I should feel guilty before I actually did anything wrong. That's how it usually starts for me. My phone was under the pillow, warm from where I'd hidden it earlier. I could feel it pressing into my cheek. I didn't reach for it yet. I listened to my husband breathe. Slow, certain, like nothing in the world was about to change. I didn't say it out loud, but I knew if I moved my hand even an inch, something inside me would cross a line I had been trained not to see. I told myself I was just tired. I told myself God understood exhaustion. Then my thumb touched the screen, and the room felt smaller than it ever had before. I wake up before the alarm every morning. I don't remember when that started. The house is always quiet at that hour. Not peaceful, just waiting. I lie there and count my breaths, because that's what I was taught to do when my thoughts start running ahead of me. In through the nose, out through the mouth. I don't pray yet. Prayer comes later after I've checked my face in the mirror and made sure nothing looks off. My husband sleeps beside me. He sleeps like someone who believes the world makes sense. I slip out of bed without waking him. I know which boards creak and which ones don't. In the bathroom, I lock the door, even though I don't need to. I sit on the edge of the tub and wait for the mirror to stop fogging from the shower I haven't taken yet. I look tired, not sick, not broken, just tired in a way that doesn't ask for help. Downstairs, the kitchen light hums when I turn it on. I make coffee the same way every morning. Same scoop, same mug. There's a devotional book open on the counter. I don't remember opening it. The page is creased, where I must have stopped reading the night before. Something about obedience. Something about joy following surrender. I don't read it again. I already know what it says. By 7, I'm dressed, modest but intentional. I choose clothes that say I respect myself and my husband and the calling on our household. That's the language I use in my head. I check my phone once, quickly. No messages. That should make me feel relieved. It doesn't. At church, people smile before they speak. They hug me like they know me. They call me by my married name. They ask how I'm holding up. I tell them I'm blessed. It comes out easily. I move through the building like it belongs to me, even though I've never been allowed to decide anything important there. I arrange chairs. I organize sign-up sheets. I make sure the coffee is hot enough. I make sure the women feel seen. They come to me quietly. They always do. They talk about their marriages in half sentences. They talk about feeling tired without saying why. I nod. I listen. I never tell them how close I feel to breaking sometimes. That wouldn't be appropriate. During service, I sit in the front row. That's where I'm expected to be. My husband's voice fills the room. Certain, people take notes. I watch their pens move. I know the scripture before he reads it. I've heard this passage used before. When he talks about submission, I keep my face still. I don't flinch anymore. I remember when I used to feel proud hearing those words, like I was part of something righteous. Now I just feel watched. After service, people linger. They always want a piece of him. I stand beside him and smile when he puts his hand on my back. The pressure is familiar. In the car, he talks about attendance numbers and giving. I look out the window. He asks me if I noticed how quiet the women were today. I say yes. He says they need more guidance. I say maybe. At home, I change clothes and start lunch. The rhythm of it keeps me steady. Chop, swipe, repeat. He comes up behind me and kisses my neck. I don't pull away. I don't lean in either. He says we should spend more time together. I say okay. I tell myself marriage is work. That love is discipline. In the afternoon, I clean, not because it needs it, because movement keeps me from thinking too hard, because stillness is dangerous. I vacuum the same spot twice. I rearrange books that are already straight. My phone is in my pocket. I feel its weight every time I bend down. I tell myself it's nothing, just habit. Later, I sit at the dining table with my Bible open. I underline verses I've underlined before. The words blur together. I don't absorb them the way I used to. I remember a time when faith felt like warmth. Now it feels like rules written inside my chest. When evening comes, I start dinner. He likes routine. I like not having to choose. We eat together. He asks about my day. I give him the edited version, the safe one. After dishes, he turns on the television. I sit beside him. His arm goes around my shoulders. I rest my head where I'm supposed to. My phone buzzes once, barely enough to hear. My body reacts before my mind does. A small jolt. I don't reach for it. I keep my hands folded in my lap. He doesn't notice, or he does and chooses not to say anything. When it's time for bed, I follow him upstairs. I move on autopilot. I brush my teeth. I change into pajamas. In bed, he touches me like this is owed, like this is maintenance. I let it happen. I always do. I tell myself this is what devotion looks like. That desire is secondary. After, he falls asleep quickly. I stare at the ceiling. The room feels smaller at night, like the walls lean in to listen. My phone is on the nightstand, face down. I tell myself I won't look, that I don't need to. I think about the women from church, the way they avoid certain words. I think about the things I've never said out loud, even to God. I remember the first time I felt this ache, not hunger, not lust, something closer to curiosity, to wanting to feel like myself again. I didn't realize then how dangerous curiosity could be. I turn onto my side. The phone is inches from my hand. I think about obedience, about how often I've been praised for it. I think about how quiet my life has become. My husband breathes steadily beside me, certain, unbothered. I don't pray this time. I don't ask permission. My fingers move before I finish the thought. I pick up the phone. The screen lights my face in the dark, and I don't put it back down. I tell myself I can stop anytime. That thought shows up before anything else. I don't name what I'm doing. Naming would make it real. During the day, I move like normal. I smile, I answer questions. At church, I organize a women's prayer circle. I remind them to be honest with God. The words come out clean. They always do. At night, when the house settles, I reach for my phone without thinking. It's automatic now. I don't feel excited. I feel focused. I keep the volume off. I keep my breathing quiet. I don't say it out loud. But part of me is watching myself from a distance, like I'm checking to see how far I've gone. I delete my history every morning. I know exactly where the setting is. I don't look at myself in the mirror when I do it. I look at the sink. Days, nothing explodes. That scares me more than if it had. My husband notices I'm quieter. He asks if I'm overwhelmed. I say yes, that's true enough. He tells me to pray more. He tells me submission brings peace. I nod. I write it down. At church, women start coming to me later in the evenings. They say they feel restless. They say they don't know why. They say they feel guilty for wanting things they can't explain. I tell them God sees their hearts. I tell them to bring everything into the light. My stomach tightens when I say it. One woman cries in my kitchen. She says she feels empty, even when she's doing everything right. I put my hand on her shoulder. I don't tell her I know exactly what she means. After she leaves, I sit alone at the table. My phone is in my pocket. I don't take it out. Not yet. I tell myself I'm stronger than this. That discipline will return. That night, I pray longer than usual. I list my sins in my head. I don't include the one that matters. When I reach for my phone, my hand shakes, just a little. I don't stop. The guilt changes shape. It's not sharp anymore. It's dull, heavy. I start avoiding certain scriptures, the ones about purity. I tell myself it's temporary. Weeks go by. I function. I teach a Bible study on marriage. I talk about intimacy as sacrifice. The women nod. They take notes. I feel like I'm lying without saying anything false. At home, my husband touches me more often, like he's checking something. I let him. I don't correct him. I don't tell him my body feels far away during it, that it feels like I'm completing a task. I don't tell him I'm more present when I'm alone. One afternoon, I forget to lock the bathroom door. I realize it too late. I hear footsteps. I freeze. Nothing happens. He doesn't come in. But my heart doesn't slow down for a long time. After that, I get careless, not reckless, just tired. I stop deleting everything right away. I tell myself I'll do it later. I leave my phone face up on the nightstand. I don't hide it under the pillow anymore. I start to feel watched, even when I'm alone, like God is quieter now, not angry, absent. During a women's luncheon, one of the older women pulls me aside. She asks how my marriage is really doing. I give the answer I've practiced. She doesn't look convinced. She says obedience should look lighter by now. She says joy follows surrender. My jaw hurts. That night, my husband asks me why I've been distant. He asks it casually, like, it doesn't matter what I say. I tell him I'm just tired. He tells me rest comes from alignment. He asks if I've been guarding my thoughts. The room feels smaller. I don't sit down. I say yes. It comes out too fast. He looks at me for a second longer than usual. Then he nods. I feel exposed anyway. After he falls asleep, I don't reach for my phone right away. I lie there. I think about stopping. I think about confessing. I imagine his face. I imagine the questions. I imagine the prayer sessions. The counseling, the way people would start watching me differently. The way my name would change shape in their mouths. I pick up the phone. I don't feel relief anymore. I feel urgency, like I'm running out of time. The next morning, I forget to delete something. I don't realize it until later. I'm in the kitchen when my husband asks to use my phone. His is dead. He says it without looking at me, like it's nothing. My heart drops. My hands go cold. I don't move. I don't breathe. I say, okay. My voice sounds wrong to my own ears. He takes the phone. I watch his thumb move. He hasn't seen anything yet. I know exactly where it is. I stand there smiling. I don't reach for it. He scrolls. He pauses. He looks up at me. Not angry. Curious. He asks me what this is. Just that. Not loud. Not accusing. I open my mouth. Nothing comes out. I could lie. I could cry. I could pray. I do none of it. I look at the floor. I say nothing. The silence stretches. It changes everything. He hands the phone back. He tells me we'll talk later. He says we need to bring this under authority. I nod. My body feels hollow. I know then there's no version of this where I stay hidden. No version where I stay in control. That night, I don't touch my phone. I don't sleep either. I wait for morning like it's a verdict. Morning comes without relief. That's the first thing I notice. The light through the curtains looks the same as always. Soft. I expected something heavier. A sense of punishment. Instead, there's just quiet. My husband is already awake. I can tell by the way the bed is made too neatly on his side. He's downstairs when I come out of the bedroom. Sitting at the table with his Bible open. He looks prepared. That scares me more than anger would have. He asks me to sit. I do. He doesn't raise his voice. He never does when he's serious. He asks me when it started. He asks me if there's more he needs to know. I stare at the grain of the table. I follow one dark line with my finger. I say I don't know. That part is true. He tells me we're going to handle this the right way. He says secrecy is the enemy. He says obedience restores order. I nod. My neck feels stiff. He prays out loud. He thanks God for revealing what was hidden. He asks for protection over our marriage. I don't say amen. He doesn't notice. By the end of the week, we're meeting with an elder and his wife. They sit across from us on a couch that smells like lemon cleaner. The woman smiles at me the entire time. She doesn't stop even when I speak. I say as little as possible. I don't trust my voice. They talk about boundaries. They talk about accountability. They talk about how easily women are deceived when they step outside covering. No one asks how I felt. No one asks what I needed. They assign me homework, scripture journaling, my phone privileges change. That's the word they use. I hand it over at night. I get it back in the morning. I don't argue. Arguing would look like resistance. At church, nothing is announced. No one says my name. Still, something shifts. I'm no longer asked to lead, just to assist. I'm thanked less, watched more. Women stop lingering after services. They hug me quickly now. One of them avoids my eyes altogether. I notice the change before anyone acknowledges it. I always do. At home, my husband is gentler, more present. He checks in often, asks how my heart is. I give careful answers. I don't want to say the wrong thing again. Our intimacy becomes structured, scheduled, prayer first. Lights off, I participate. My body complies. My mind drifts anyway. I miss the quiet moments I used to have alone. Not what I did. The space, weeks pass, then months. No one brings it up anymore, which is its own kind of reminder. I am never fully trusted back. I can feel it. Trust has conditions now. Check-ins, oversight. I learn how to be good again, better than before. I memorize the right responses. I smile at the right moments. Sometimes in the shower, I let the water run longer than necessary, just to hear something loud, just to drown out my thoughts. I pray differently now, shorter, more careful. I don't ask questions. I don't confess feelings. I stick to gratitude. I thank God for discipline, for structure. I never thank him for desire. One afternoon, I'm asked to clear out a storage closet at church. Old curriculum, outdated flyers. I find a box of women's ministry materials with my handwriting on the labels. Organized, I sit on the floor longer than I should. I trace my name with my finger. It feels like looking at someone else's life. At home, I start sleeping through the night again. Not deeply, just without waking up startled. My phone stays on the dresser now. I don't think about it much. Sometimes that worries me. I wonder what else I could lose without noticing. There are moments when I feel empty, not guilty, not ashamed, just hollow, like a room that's been cleaned out but not refurnished. I don't talk about it. There's no language for this that wouldn't sound ungrateful. One evening, my husband asks me if I'm happy. He asks it gently. I pause too long. Then I say yes. Satisfied, I watch him walk away. I don't reach for my phone. I don't reach for anything. I sit there and listen to the house settle. I realize then that obedience didn't erase the part of me that wanted more. It just taught me how to live without acknowledging it. That knowledge doesn't explode. It sits heavy. I don't know what I'll do with it yet. I only know it's there.